meeting of the Senate Health and Human Services Committee back to order. And my understanding, we are on the second item on the agenda, which is Senate Files 731, and Senator Hahn appears to be ready to go.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and members. Thank you for your patience here. Senate File 731 is, we have a delete all amendment. It is the A1 amendment. I'd like, if members do not have a copy of that, to make sure we have those in front of everyone. And so after we adopt the A1 amendment, what we will have is our omnibus policy language onto Senate File 731. And what I'd like to do is just adopt that amendment as an author's amendment and then ask counsel to briefly review the bills that are in the amendment. And then we do have a couple of other amendments that we'd like to try to process in the next 45 minutes if we can.
Senator Hahn offers the A1 amendment as an author's amendment. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. We are working off the Senate File 731 as amended by the A1 amendment, and if counsel would like to explain that.
Madam Chair and members, in Article 1, it's a health care article. Section 1 is from Senate File 704. It's Senator Marty's bill that exempts smaller clinics from the electronic prescription drug program deadline. Section 2 is Senate File 527, Senator Senjum's bill that establishes the Autism Spectrum Disorder Task Force. And that's Article 1.
Who would like to explain Article 2?
Madam Chair, members, Article 2 is from Senate File 310, and it allows the state to contract for detoxification services in bordering states. Sections 2 and 3 are from Senate File 1211, Senator Benson's bill, and it modifies the Department of Human Services Licensing Act with regard to family daycare to restrict family daycares. So the daycare license holder providing the care, living in the home, needs to also provide the care. And Section 4 is from Senator Hall's 1179. It allows the county to negotiate a supplemental agreement to contracts for purposes of contracting for a specific performance. Section 5 is from Senator Sharon, Senate File 873, and it requires the Commissioner of Human Services requires the Commissioner of Human Services to issue a request for information for an integrated service delivery system for health care programs, food support, cash assistance, and child care. Requires the Commissioner to issue a final report by the end of April. Requires the Commissioner to partner with counties to develop the integrated service delivery framework. And also requires the Commissioner to report implementation progress to the legislature annually beginning January of 2013. And requires the Commissioner to work with MACSA and the Office of Enterprise Technology to develop task forces to implement the service delivery components in this new chapter of law, or this new section of law.
And Article 3 is Health Licensing Board's article, and these all sections 1 through 7 are from Senate File 1055, Senator Sharon's bill, and it makes minor changes to the nursing licensure statutes. Removes obsolete language. It makes a change in the license by examination. It has a minor change in the temporary permanent practice, and it moves the fees into statute and then repeals the rules that have the fees in it.
Madam Chair.
Senator Hand.
Thank you, Senate Counsel, for your help. And members, those are the bills that we have heard earlier that we have amended on to the Senate File 731 that are in the bill. We have one amendment I'm aware of that to the language that was a part of Senator Benson's bill. I'm not quite sure if they're ready for that, but we do have another amendment that is a little bit more substantive that Senator Sharon would like to offer, and we'd like to take some testimony on that since it is a new provision.
Senator Sharon.
I'd like to introduce as an amendment.
We have it.
Sorry.
The A2 amendment, Senator Sharon.
Yes, thank you very much.
Senator Sharon amendment. Offers the A2 amendment. Discussion to the amendment, Senator Sharon.
Thank you. This is an amendment that creates a new chapter of law. And it's a new chapter of law that will regulate alcohol and drug counselors. It consolidates, it's a new chapter, but what it really is doing is consolidating existing alcohol and drug counselor statutes and rules. And it adapts various statutes and rules that are related to professional counselors to the new alcohol, the new chapter relating to the alcohol and drug counselors. It has already been language that has been adapted and heard in the House. The board that oversees the drug and alcohol counselors is promoting this and has worked on this language in the House. The language that is in front of you mirrors that language, including modifications to it that were adapted into the language to resolve any issues of concern as it relates to how counselors work with American Indian tribes, and also provides for an opportunity for a study of a tiering system so that there can be some gradation in the level of service provision under various tiered licenses. That's essentially what this is about, and we have members from the board who are here to answer very specific questions if anybody has them.
Well, Senator Sharon, then there's a question. Senator Berglund.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So is there anything in here that isn't in the law or rule now? I mean, all of this is new language, so it's hard to tell.
Maybe it would be helpful to start out by taking some testimony on it so we better understand exactly what's in it, and then maybe your question would be answered, Senator Berglund, during testimony. So it appears as though someone has joined us at the table.
Could you pull the microphone closer?
Please identify yourself for the record.
Just bring it up close to you.
Madam Chair, members, my name is Judy Gordon. I'm the chairman of the Board of Behavioral Health and Therapy, having been appointed 4 years ago by Governor Pawlenty. I'm a registered nurse and a licensed alcohol and drug counselor. This Board of Behavioral Health and Therapy took on the licensing of licensed alcohol and drug counselors back in 2005 when the Department of Health gave it up to them. So now the Board of Behavioral Health and Therapy regulates licensed professional counselors and licensed alcohol and drug counselors. We've been spending about the lion's share of the last 3 years looking at our law around licensed alcohol and drug counselors because it also had an extremely long list of rules connected to it. And they were created back in the late 90s and have become onerous and hard to regulate with a three-person staff. And so we moved back 2.5 years ago to take the rules and subsume them into law. And as we did that, we tried to make the law features identical, basically things like the rules of conduct, et cetera, identical to the rules and the laws that regulate licensed alcohol and drug counselors, licensed professional counselors, social workers, and psychologists, so that there wouldn't be much change in statute in terms of how our rules and how our laws look, but we wanted to get rid of the rules. So we have worked on this. I apologize for not getting this earlier to the Senate. I'm new to this process. Luckily have some friends that can help me along in knowing what to say and what to do. But we spent most of our time over in the representative side, in the House side, with Representative Abler, who's, as you know, a tantamount compromiser, and managed to wrinkle out all of, or to wipe out all of the wrinkles that were in this rule and any of the controversies. And we did have a couple of controversies and a couple of amendments that were issued. One controversy was about we were trying to regulate out two-year professionals and make the profession at least a four-year degree profession. The schools that teach the two-year programs were not, of course, in favor of that, so we did find a compromise to that, kept them in at least for the next 5 years while we study, with making a tiered system for 2-, 4-, and 6-year degrees. And the University of Minnesota has supported us in that, as has UMACAD, or as has the schools, the MINCASE, I guess it's called. UMACAD is the American Indian programs, and they asked for an amendment to put them in as an exempt category that could serve people without any degrees using their regulations as long as they served American Indians, and we accepted that regulation. The amendment as you see it now, I realize, is very large. It probably because we spent 3 years on it and because we wanted to make sure every base was covered. I apologize for how long it is, how sudden it is to you, but it is not terribly different from any other licensing regulation that exists. I will take any questions that you'd like, and a board member or a board staff, Sam Strelo, is here to answer those things too.
Are there questions regarding for the testifiers? Senator Berglund.
So, Madam Chair, and I didn't catch your name.
Judy Gordon.
Ms. Gordon, the issue of licensure and the length of education for a license, is that the only new issue that's in here, or are there other new issues that have been brought into here that are not part of the current law or rule?
Ms. Gordon?
I can answer that. I'm Samantha Strelo. I'm board staff.
Ms. Strelo.
Yes, thank you. Everything that we've put in there is something that existed in a rural statute already. So when we were going through this process, the education portion, the degree portion, was the only controversy that really came up during that process. Everything else seems to be agreeable to everybody, all of the interest groups that deal with the LADC.
Madam Chair.
Senator Berglund.
That wasn't my question.
Okay.
My question wasn't, is there anything controversial in here?
Okay.
My question was, is there anything in here besides this licensure issue that is not currently in present law or rule?
No.
Ms. Strelo.
Madam Chair, no.
All right, thank you.
And further questions? Senator Hand.
Madam Chair, and I just want to clarify that there is a summary that I've gotten of the bill. It does talk about summary of changes. It says it creates standards of conduct that are consistent in content and format with those of other healthcare professionals. Now, am I correct in understanding that those standards did not exist previously to this category of profession? So that would be, to Senator Berglund's point, new, in the sense that it has not been applied before, but it is similar to other. I'm just trying to clarify what that is, and I'm not sure who to direct that question to. Maybe
who would like to answer or address Senator Hand? Ms.
Madam
Gordon.
Chair, Madam Chair, Senator Hand, there was a list of professional conduct in the other rule. It was one that took the original committee that worked on the rules over a year to create. And it was more specifically 1996-type rules of professional conduct, and it had more to do with L.A., with licensed alcohol and drug. They weren't looking at the other rules of conduct that existed in other licenses at that point. So we X'd those and added the rules of conduct as they apply to all other health professionals. So, yes, that is different.
Senator Berglund.
Madam Chair, is it just worded differently, or are there actual standards of conduct that were not previously in the law or rule that are being added here?
Ms. Gordon.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I believe it was more, I don't remember specifically because this is a big thing, but it was more a matter of specific things such as how much, whether or not you could see a client as on a personal level for how long, and then how much you could accept as a gift from a client. Things like that were in the rule, and they were very, in the rule, they were very specific. They weren't in the law. So we have simply adopted the laws as they exist in other professions. Does that answer your question, Senator Berglund?
Further discussion, Senator Hand.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And again, just not knowing who quite to address this to, but have these changes been reviewed with practitioners, and is this being done in concert with and agreement with the people who are governed by this new structure?
And Senator Sharon.
I'd like to direct you to the second bullet under collaborative proposal. It identifies the process that was used and all that have been involved in the conversation around developing the language that's in front of you. And so the answer is yes.
And Madam Chair and Senator Sharon,
Senator Hand.
Are you aware of, are there issues still that are unresolved, or are things in the bill, have they been vetted and they're not controversial and people are not lurking out there waiting to say, what did you do?
Senator Sharon.
Thank you. I'm never sure about lurkers. I always get surprised at the end. But the two issues that Ms. Gordon referred to, which resolves the issue related to the tribes, and remove the language that in the bill would have dealt with the different levels of preparation. That language was removed, and in its place was this process of working over a longer period of time on the tiering of the licenses based on the degree of education. Those were the two areas of controversy that were resolved and is now incorporated in the language in front of you.
Further discussion. Senator Rosen, you appear to have a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess I was just going back to the standards of conduct, that if those were modeled after other healthcare professionals, such as Mrs. Gordon?
Ms. Gordon.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senator Rosen, such as licensed professional counselors, such as social workers, such as psychologists. We're all in the same building over there at the Board of Behavioral Health and Therapy, and we talk to each other.
Further questions or discussion on the A2 amendment? Senator Newman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And perhaps Senator Rosen can help me with this, but is it correct that this bill, this A2 amendment has now passed the House?
Senator Sharon. Senator Sharon.
Senator Sharon.
I'm just going to throw it to
Senator
her.
Rosen's up here.
He was looking at
it. It happens all the time to us.
Senator Sharon.
Yes, it does. That's okay.
My apologies.
No, not. No, apologies. Don't apologize.
They're just both so youthful, you can't.
Absolutely.
We do experience this often, don't we, Senator Rosen?
Senator Sharon.
I've enjoyed the question so much that I've forgotten what it was. Now, just a sec. It'll come. I have a kind of a Rolodex memory, not a computer memory. But oh yes, this language. It's part of why we're in front of you today. This language was in a bill form that matched this language, and then there was some reorganization, pulling the language out of the omnibus bill and moving it over into a licensing bill, which I think is similar to a bill that you had in front of the committee yesterday. So because of the movement over there, my understanding is that we don't necessarily have a companion bill. So in order to make certain that this can move forward and be negotiated somewhere before the end of the session, the hope of the stakeholders is that we would be able to amend this language into the omnibus bill. and negotiated in conference committee. And it looks like Ms. Gordon would like to add or some accuracy to my statement.
Well, and just as a note of information, my understanding from counsel is that this is the House language word for word.
Yes.
So, okay.
Just locate
Senator Newman.
Madam Chair, Senator Sharon. The reason I ask the question is that this language and this topic will be familiar to a number of senators. To me, it's all brand new. I've never seen it before. The testifiers indicated this is something that they've been working on for 3 years. And on the last day that we can have a hearing, I'm looking at a 42-page bill. And, you know, I'm not being critical of anybody, but it becomes somewhat problematic when we are confronted with this kind of an issue and being asked to move and vote on something that, quite honestly, I don't know anything about, and I'm not going to have a chance to even read the bill. So I'm very hesitant to move bills in the fashion that we have been asked to move them in the last couple of days because of the deadline. So as I sit here, I don't know what I'm going to do yet, but I just wanted to bring that to your attention, is that I have no idea what's in this bill. It's 42 pages long, and I haven't seen it before 5 minutes ago.
Senator Sharon.
I just want to say I appreciate that, and I oftentimes find myself in the same position. I don't know if I can resolve the conflict that you have about how to address this kind of thing for your own vote today, but for me, if there's something that moves forward that is controversial or doesn't allow is sudden and doesn't allow an alternative voice to have an opportunity to speak to the issue, work out their differences, and it's just slipped in at the end, and it's difficult for me to understand, much less the implications on other people, I really set a boundary there. This, I can assure you, has gone through substantive process to the stakeholders that are involved in it, and they're have been working through their issues, not with us, not in front of us, but in the House. And I think Ms. Gordon could probably speak better to that than I can, if that's helpful.
One more question, Senator Newman. Madam Chair. Senator Sharon, can you assure me then that the language that is in this bill is currently inscribed in either statute or rule, and we are simply recodifying it and repealing the existing statutes or rules?
Senator Sharon.
I will have the board make certain that my statement is accurate, but the issue is that for this particular licensing group, much of what is in statute or in law for other professions that are in the same category were not in law for this profession. They were in rules. And what they're doing is taking things. They wanted to get rid of the rules and get like these other professionals who are in the same general category and adapt the same code of conduct, the same processes, and put it into statute and law, which creates a new chapter for them. But the laws that they're adapting their license to are those already in law for the other group of professionals.
Okay. That answers my question.
All right. Senator Rosen.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. And Senator Newman, I'd actually like just to thank Ms. Gordon and the other testifier for coming and working on this. This is something that I believe has been in the works for a long time, and they've been talking about this, and so I appreciate you getting this clarified and bringing this up to the standards of the other boards, and so we can move forward.
Further discussion, Senator Sharon.
I just want to make certain that my comment, that you affirm the essence of what I'm saying as a board.
Yes,
Senator Gordon. Ms. Gordon. I didn't quite hear you. I'm sorry. So if you could speak up. Ms.
Madam
Gordon.
Chairman, members of the committee.
I could give you the history of how we went through the House, and as I said, I'm a neophyte to the process. I knew we had companions, but I didn't know that once the House had changed the things and ironed out the differences, that then it wouldn't be a companion to yours. So I assumed then we could just go over to Senator Rosen and Senator Sharon and say, okay, they passed it out of that committee, now let's go. And they went, oops. So that's why we are kind of late in the process. We would have been a few days earlier, although there wasn't really an opportunity to have this heard in the House really until mid-April. So that's why we're at this date.
Senator Berglund.
Madam Chair and Senator Newman, it really sounds to me like the only thing in here that isn't in existing law is the authority for the board to work on this licensing proposal for the future that would have staggered amounts of education. And honestly, it's my belief that they don't really need a statute to allow them to study that anyway. They could do that without a new law. But, you know, it's good that they're bringing it to our attention, so when they get it worked out, it won't be a surprise to everybody that they have that kind of licensing scheme in mind.
Senator Hahn.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And again, to Senator Newman's point, I appreciate your raising that. And Senator Sharon did talk to me before the committee started and brought this to our attention and explained the circumstances, and out of respect and recognition of the work that both Senator Rosen and Senator Sharon have done and understanding the nature of this, I agreed that we should hear it and try to adopt it in our bill, but because this policy bill will be different from what the House has or the other body has, there will be another opportunity if there are questions or if there is further need to examine this provision. That certainly can be done. So I don't want to say to you, just trust everybody and pass along. There is another stop along the way that this will go through.
Ms. Gordon.
Chairman, members of the committee, there is a major difference in that right now our board has to use the rules that have been adopted off of this law. And the rules are very outdated and very onerous to the committee and to the board to deal with. There are rules around exactly where you have to get your CEUs done. And there have been meetings between us and the group called MARCH, the Minnesota Association of Resources for Recovery and Chemical Health, where they asked to have those changed. And that's some parts of what we put into this law, that the rules around the kinds of CEUs and the time frames for CEUs were slightly changed to satisfy some of the stakeholders.
Further discussion on the A2 amendment. Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Maybe I can help ease Senator Newman's mind. As I'm just paging through this, and this is the first time I've seen this, but Senator Sharon and I had a conversation about it before the committee started, and this seems to be our year for cleaning up licensing requirements. This looks a lot of like what we have to do just to renew our nursing license. It's just developing what the criteria is to get continuing ed, to report to the board, and it helps so that the stakeholders, especially the practitioners, know what the rules are. They can go and it's easy to find, and the rules aren't in flux all the time. So I'm not going to tell you to trust me, but I support this.
Further discussion on the A2 amendment? Seeing none, Senator Sharon renews her motion to adopt the A2 amendment. All those in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail.
Thank you.
The amendment is adopted.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Senator Hahn.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for your testimony. I want to just inquire of Senator Benson if she does have an amendment to the language that is currently in the bill that was associated with her previous bill, if she is...
Senator Benson.
And Madam Chair, Senator Hahn, thank you. I have the A5 amendment.
Senator Benson offers the A5 amendment. Discussion to the A5 amendment, Senator Benson.
And this is related to the family daycare licensing provision. I had presented this bill earlier, and there were significant problems. We have made changes that I believe bring people closer together and actually accomplish the goals of the bill that I presented. Goal was to have people living in the homes where they provided daycare in a residential neighborhood so that we didn't have what I've taken to calling dark homes at night. It would give the cities the authority to permit or not permit. It doesn't ban them, but it leaves it in the power of the local municipality. So the significant changes on the A5 amendment on line 1.18 was the addition of the word rents, because we do want people who rent and reside to be able to apply. The requirement on line 1.22 that the license be the primary holder, that the person who resides there be the primary holder. Starting with lines 1.26, it gives the commissioner the authority to deny a license if the municipality has not approved. There is one sticking point on line 1.35. 30 days notice was recommended from the department that we use 30 days notice. And upon review of the amendment this morning, I would like to make an oral amendment to make that 60 days notice so that families would have 60 days instead of 30.
So on line 1.35, Senator Benson would delete 30 and incorporate 60.
60 days notice of program closure. Moving on to page... line 2.4 leaves the licensing management with the county, but reinforces that the commissioner provides the municipality decisions and ordinances related to these limitations. And let me see. I think those are the significant changes that were made with this legislation. And I'm ready to stand for questions.
Further discussion on the A5 amendment? Seeing none, Senator Benson, is there anyone who wanted to testify or any discussion on this? Seeing none, Senator Benson renews her motion on the A5 amendment as changed on the 60-day on, changed the 30 to the 60-day, renews that motion. All in favor of the A5 amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The amendment is adopted. Further discussion on Senate File 731. Senator Hand.
Madam Chair and members, there is another amendment that I am aware of, but I'm not sure that I have see anybody here who is willing to talk about that. What I'd like to do is lay the bill over so that if... later today, we can take it back up before we adjourn and do that amendment, or we may not. But I do want to leave the bill open, at least for the time being. We do have some other bills that we want to hear. Some of those may also we may wish to incorporate into this bill. So I would not. I'm asking not to pass the bill at this point, but just to lay it over, and we can take it up another time.
Well, Senator Hand, if there were any other amendments that members may have, we do have about 15 minutes before I scheduled right. recess. So, and Senator Berglund,
Madam Chair, Senator Hand, I just wanted to ask you if this bill is going to have to go to state government or rules.
Senator Hand,
because it's got this autism. Task force in it.
Madam Chair and Senator Berglund,
I may be able to answer that. I've just been told by staff that it came from there, that bill came from that committee.
So
state government.
So it has been to state government.
But it still has to go to rules, I think.
Is that correct?
Because it's got appointments by the legislature.
It's got legislators on it.
Oh, that has to go to rules.
Then it goes to rules.
And. There is some discussion, but we think it may have to go to rules. Is that? Yes, it would have to go to rules.
Thank you for clarifying that, Madam Chair. Senator Berglund, I was not aware that it had to go to rules, but if so, so be it. Are there other?
Are there other amendments that members would like to offer before we recess? Because then it would make our afternoon time shorter.
Yes.
As as a little motivation to get those done. We have 10 minutes.
And
well, Senator Hahn, I guess.
Well, before I would want to lay the bill over, but if we do have a few minutes, we might be able to. If Mr. Lobeko is ready, maybe he's not. He's okay. I thought we could take up one bill that is relatively short, but it doesn't look like we're ready to do that. So I guess I would just ask that we lay the bill over.
Well, Senator Hahn, then we will lay the bill over, and would you like to recess now? Then, but.
Senator Berglund, I think, has a question, Madam Chair.
Recess now for lunch and come back 10 minutes earlier than we.
Well, that's hopeful, Senator Berglund. Yeah, I doubt that anyone will be 10 minutes earlier. I'm being told that we are in a different room when we reconvene at 1, and we can't get back or we can't get into that room until 1. So
you just got
an extra 10 minutes for lunch.
And Madam Chair,
Senator Hahn,
could you just remind committee members and the chairman of the committee what room we are meeting in at 1 o'clock?
Well, I would have to ask staff for that.
123.
We are in room 123 at 1 o'clock, so we will stand in recess until 1 o'clock.
Thank you.